Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Alright, everybody, it is Saturday afternoon, November 2nd, 2024. This is your official Chairshot Radio Network Crown Jewel wrap-up show. I am one of the hosts of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the man with the award-winning beard, DJ. I am not alone today as my frequent collaborator, frequently doing these afternoon shows. He is the host of the DWI Podcast, previously called Tunny. He is now known as Chuck Snow. I want to welcome him to the show, the post-Crown Jewel wrap-up show. PC Tunney, how are you, sir?
Yes, Chuck Snow is a thing now, apparently. You'll find that as soon as we get to the 299th episode of Attitude of Aggression. What are we, Survivor Series 94 last night?
Survivor Series 94 was a hell of a good show. We made some chicken salad out of some chicken shit. Yeah. Had a good time. It was a show to remember, my friend.
We had a blast. But yeah, officially welcome to the Chairshot.com presents WWE Crown Jewel immediate reactions.
Yeah, and let's just start right here. First of all, I thought top to bottom the show was pretty good. All the matches I thought delivered pretty well. There were a couple finishes I thought were a little odd, especially the main event. I didn't mind how it ended. I was just, the finish itself just kind of was like abrupt, which I think was what they were going for. And we can, you know, talk about that as we go down the card and talk about each individual match. I thought the crowd was pretty hot. I was a little disappointed in the women's fatal four-way tag match. The crowd seemed to cool off a little bit. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I thought that was fine. I thought the crowd was cooled off for the triple threat at the end of the card. I don't know. I'm in love with a lot of the women that were in all of them, actually. Any single one of them. All eight of them. Hi, PC Tunney.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a good match, actually. Right now I'm watching. I'm continuing with the cock currently. And we got Kathy Kelly outside talking to Solo as they're kind of celebrating with the Ulafala outside. So, yeah, I was surprised they started with that.
Roman Reigns gets back on that plane and gets back home early, my friend. He's not sticking around long.
I suppose it does give, like, respect to Crown Jewel Championships in the fact that it closes the show as well. So, you know, right. know what I mean?
Well, and they made that big pomp and circumstance with Cody at the very end. They brought everybody out. They
brought Liv out,
you know,
too.
Presented him with the belt. You don't do that in the middle of the card. You do that at the end.
How do you like the fact that they're going to get rings and the belts are going to stay in Saudi?
I'm warming up to it. It's as long as there's an actual lineage that they're going to follow, and this doesn't go the way of the greatest battle or the greatest Royal Rumble match and the belt that Braun Strowman won, and we never see it again. If it as long as it doesn't go that route, and we have a lineage that they follow, then I'm perfectly okay with it. Leave it because it'll end up being kind of Saudi Arabia specific, kind of like the speed title is. You don't bring the speed title off of Twitter because it's specific to Twitter.
Right.
These Crown Jewel Championships can stay over there, and you have the ring to symbolize, hey, you know, I'm the champ. But then how does that work if you're defeated in the next round? Do you give up the belt and the ring, or is the ring like a Super Bowl ring that you keep forever? Have they established that?
Well, they said it's like a Super Bowl ring because let's see how many rings you can collect. So, like, you get to wear the belt. Like, so, like, basically, if you're the current champ, you go over there now. Cody will go over there. Liv will go over there in the, like, what, late spring, early summer after WrestleMania?
Yeah, something like that.
Right? So it's twice a year. So I like it because it's twice a year. I'm like, this is growing on me. So when you get there, if you're the reigning, defending, won the last one, not only did you get a ring for that, I guess, do you get another ring for winning it again, winning another match, or do you get another ring for another title reign? That's my biggest question.
That's a good question. My guess would be one ring per reign, but I don't know that they – but again, this is the inaugural show.
Right. We'll
so,
see.
You know, I think this is probably something you can play with as you go along and maybe kind of make it up as we go along.
I'm liking it, actually, to be honest with you.
All in all, these Saudi shows have grown on me. The first one or two kind of felt like, okay, we're just doing something specifically for these folks. And while they don't usually resolve any storylines, as we saw with Orton and KO, they have now incorporated the Saudi shows into WWE canon, whereas the first few kind of felt like, okay, it's just a standalone, separate one-off show just for, you know, the people in Saudi Arabia. Now they're continuing storylines and angles while they're over there, and I think I like that much better.
I couldn't agree with that more. From a fan perspective, I just want to add from earlier on that the longevity of this crowd, even though they were a little bit lackluster at the start of the U.S. title match, which was the second to last one, they were there all in at the end. The crowd killed it all night. They were amazing. Randy Orton's entrance, fucking A, man.
If you'd have told me 10 years ago that they'd be singing Randy Orton to the ring,
like,
I would have just kind of looked at you like, yeah, okay, whatever, pal. And here we are.
They know all the words in
easily...
English.
Go ahead.
They know all the words in English. Sorry, that's all I was saying.
Yeah, no, they do. And it just and he gets that internationally. Randy hasn't, you know, he hasn't wrestled a whole lot since he's been back from surgery, but all the international crowds love it. He's huge over there. Glad to see him getting that respect and love. You got anything else before we get into the matches themselves?
I do. I have one last thing, and I'm just trying to find it real quick here. A little interaction I had during the show, during Crown Jewel, with Chris Van Vliet. He put out a tweet. I don't know if you guys have seen him. Go ahead, check him out, follow him. Great interviewer, gets tons of WWE talent. Which title do you think John Cena will win for his 17th championship? And side by side, it's the WWE championship with Cena and the world with WWE. And I said, I quoted him. I said, I don't think he will. It would be irresponsible not to have him have a shot at it, but just don't think he wins. And Chris messaged me and said, I'll take that bet, handshake. And I said, all right, handshake. So we'll see what happens. Maybe me and him can get together for something either way, whoever wins after the end of John Cena's run. But looking forward to that. So what are your quick thoughts on that? Cool little interaction I had with Chris.
That is actually a very cool interaction, man. That's I pop for that. Man, that's a tough call because on one hand, I would be very happy to see that be John Cena's legacy. Like, he's 17. He finally tops Flair. and that record stands for however long it stands. But at the same time, I don't know that Triple H will pull that trigger over top of Flair.
Well, does John want it more than anything? Because if John doesn't want it, he'll just say no, and they will respect that, right? It has to be...
Absolutely.
Hunter and John have to both want it. Like, Flair will just say, go for it, right?
Probably, yeah. He understands the business enough. So, all right, well, let's get into this thing here, Tunny. We opened up the show with the Bloodline battle... whatever we're calling it, the original Bloodline, Roman with the Usos, Jay and Jimmy versus the what I'm calling the Timu Bloodline, Solo Sikoa. We had Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, which goes against what a lot of reports were saying. A lot of reports were saying early on that Jacob wasn't going to wrestle. They were calling for both the Tongans to team with Solo. That did not happen. It was Jacob and Tama Tonga with Solo against Roman and Jimmy and Jay. And what I found interesting here was Roman and Jimmy came out by themselves, and Jay came out on his own, which tells you that WWE gets it, you know, that they know what they've got with Jey Uso, and it also helps further that storyline because there's still a separation here of church and state with Jimmy or with Jay and Roman. You know, Jay's like, look, family's family. I'm going to come and help you in this situation, but we're not good. You know, let's be clear here. And it furthers that storyline, and They spotlight that when in the early parts of the match, Roman goes with the old, you know, okay, you can tag me in now. And Jay's like, no, I don't think so. You know, and I love that little nuance of the storytelling in that match.
No, I mean, Jay's his own man. Jay might be the hottest one in all of professional wrestling right now, to be honest with you. The people are just at his whim. The promo and everything else he did, it was just amazing. Like, he's so on fire. These people are so connected with him. Like, every single move, they're ready for him. There's another song they're singing all the words to, was Jay's.
Yeah.
So, and you can't let it go all at once either, right? Like, I don't want to fast forward too much, but at the end, we didn't kind of exactly get what we wanted there either. The match was kind of basic, and a lot of people, you know, called that out on social media. What do you expect when the next chapter is coming really soon? Like,
yeah,
we've been talking about Civil War games for over half a year. So you can't like give a lot away now when in 3 weeks we're going to have Civil War games.
Yeah. And they set that up with the ending of this match with, you know, the Bloodline, the original Bloodline getting beat down by, you know, the Timu Bloodline, Sami Zayn coming out, the big miscommunication between Roman and Sami hitting Roman with the Haluva kick.
Right.
And, you know, now Jimmy again, not trusting Sami. Jay still caught in the middle of everything. There's a whole lot going on here. And they've really only, like you said, they've only got 3 weeks to put this whole situation together for War Games, but they set the table beautifully here tonight. Good call with Solo and the new Bloodline kind of going over. They needed the win. We say this very often on the Mindless Wrestling podcast. If you want somebody to feel like a threat, they can't get their asses kicked all the time. Like, they've got to win something to make this the desperation feel real. You know, if Roman's just going out there and cleaning the table every time he comes out, then what story are we telling here? There has to be there's no Jedi without Empire Strikes Back.
I think Solo is actually connecting with the younger fan base. And when I say younger, I mean like teenagers to early 20s. Like, I think he's connecting with them more so. Like, the things he's doing, like, tonight he was really good when he looked in the ring and said, look what you did. Look what you did.
Yeah.
When he was hopped out. You know, that was perfect. He's grown. And he's grown quickly because it wasn't that great too long ago where it was kind of mediocre. But now it's working. And once they release Jacob, it's going to be insane. I'm interested to see what else gets added to this or if this is just it. But if this is just it, that's fine. This is the 4-on-4 we wanted. Let's get to it for sure. I mean, we need this big time.
We do. And I think 4-on-4 is fun. You don't need a fifth person in there. I think 4-on-4 War Games match is perfectly acceptable.
Right. Agreed. So. 100%. Yeah. I enjoyed
it.
Kind of plain, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it accomplished what it meant to accomplish. And I was perfectly fine with that. Next up, we had the women's fatal four-way tag team title match with Damage Control versus Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, the champions, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. This match was a lot of fun, man. And I'm so, I want to point out, Jason from our show is fond of pointing out the fact that when they first started doing these Saudi shows, a lot of people mocked the fact that women weren't going to be able to even have a match there. And yet here we are. We had eight women in a huge profile match. And that's not even talking about the crown, women's crown jewel match. We're just talking about eight women in a huge high profile match and all of them getting to show off what they can do. And quite frankly, aside from like one or two little miscues, which I think were more related to the gear that they have to wear when they go over there, it's a little awkward working in some of that stuff. I thought the match was incredible. I thought Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson really showed out here, really showed that they could easily graduate from NXT, come up onto the main roster and make an impact. I enjoyed it. Tony, any of your thoughts?
No, I mean, it had as good a synergy as you can expect from an eight-person match, like any eight-person yes. match, regardless of what kind of congruity or rules or, you know, separation of teams you have with eight people. This was good. And I did ask Jade Cargill to marry me on social media during this match. Offer does stand. She looked amazing. And all the women looked amazing. I love Piper Niven's crossbody from the top.
Yes.
Who had that on their bingo card, BT Dubs?
I certainly didn't.
I wouldn't have minded a little flip-flop with Metaphor like they did with Unholy Union. I think they could have done that real quick here, but I'm okay with it because, man, Bianca and Jade just look like they just look the part of unstoppable women in their division. And boy, when Bianca came out second, I was just like, most underrated talent in professional wrestling right now, regardless of gender. Like, just people don't realize how great she may end up being, one of the best women of all time, like literal, like in the discussion top three all time when she's done.
I 100% agree with you. Bianca is that good. A couple little things that I wanted to point out that I really, really enjoyed. When we talk about Lash Legend and Jakara, Lash, a year, 2 years ago, when I first started watching her at the little NXT shows that come to, I was like, okay, something, she's struggling to get it in the ring. Like, she has a look, she has a presence. She has put it together in the ring. And there was a couple things that she did that I really enjoyed. There was one point where she was going to suplex. It was either Io or Kairi, one of the two. And she grabbed her. She was in her corner. And she immediately spun her around and looked directly at Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair and suplexed her right in front of her. I think the only thing she could have done was pause a little longer, make the moment last a little longer, because she understood that's the matchup. You know, Lash Legend versus Bianca versus Jade Cargill, one of those three matchups is the match. And she understood that, but she could have paused a little bit longer and let it breathe. But still, I thought it was an incredible little moment from her.
And that was a reaction from the beginning of the match when Jade picked up, fuck, I can't remember who now, and threw him with the over the head, came over by Lash tagged in and threw it to Lash and Lash. So they were kind of having a move off.
Right. And I liked seeing that. Another thing that Lash
did,
she pulled somebody into her corner and she was getting ready to tag Jakara. And some people, they'll pull somebody in the corner and when they go to the tag, they just kind of let the opponent sit there. Lash got on top of her and like smothered her while Jakara tagged herself in so she couldn't get out of the corner. I thought it was an incredibly cool little moment. And the only other thing I want to mention is how much of an MVP was Chelsea Green?
Wow.
Like, how awesome of a rehire has she been, man?
Yeah, Chelsea Green's amazing. She just adds depth to the women's division because no matter what she does, whether she's out there, she can actually work. That's the key. That's the secret sauce. Because not only can she get over as quirky or, you know, for real's gonna want to beat your ass, she can back it up in the ring, right? And being with Piper Niven is perfect. So they're always legitimate contenders for whatever they're at.
Right. And they found the lane for themselves. And I like seeing it because I like Piper Niven as well. I don't mean to like trivialize her being in the match at all. She's awesome. And I've liked her since the Mae Young Classic. But I just wanted to point out that Chelsea Green has been an MVP for quite a while now.
Insane elbow from Kyrene was pretty epic as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All the girls hitting their moves from the corner while everybody was at the outside. Incredible piece of business there. It was great.
Loved it.
All right, next up, we had a good old-fashioned grudge match. The architect, the visionary, my man, my ride or die, Seth Rollins, versus Big Bronson Reed. And, man, this was Bronson Reed's coming out party. I know he lost. Rollins won. I'm okay with that finish. But, man, let me tell you, Bronson Reed looked like he belonged in there today.
There were two matches, this one, and we're going to get to KO and Randy, and we all speculated on how are they going to take these things outside of the ring because they're just called singles matches. And I'm okay with the way both things went. We'll get to the latter later. But the former, I mean, the way they started it was just excellent. The attack coming down to the ring. By the way, Bronson Reed's gear was fucking awesome. The Punisher gear. He looked amazing. But people were upset that he lost. And I'm like, guys like this don't win matchups like this. This is a matchup for Seth to step up and do a pay-per-view, but to show that Bronson Reed's on that level. Right?
And they did. Like, they did that effectively.
It's coming. This dude might be the guy who he's not gonna win the Royal Rumble, but he might be the guy to eliminate the most people in the Royal Rumble. And you know what that leads to? That leads to something at the very, very least. And Bronson Reed's not a US or IC guy. This guy is gonna be a world heavyweight champion, I would say, probably next summer.
I could see something like that. I absolutely could see something like that. There's terminology in the business. There's getting over and there's going over. Seth Rollins went over. Bronson Reed got over
100.
Absolutely. And that the finish was incredible. Bronson taking the curb stomp on the steps, getting legitimately busted open, taking another stomp. It actually enhanced the finish because now it's believable. Like he's bleeding.
So we gotta just address one thing because we were out there on social media, you and I, and the start of this match is just like boom, 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 Bronson, 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 and I'm like, oh, make it like go ahead, make it a, but no, like hear me out though, like what if it was, like Bronson hit the next splash and then one more, and it was over right away, and they played it up, and then they had another match, right? Like they could have done that.
Yeah. Well, that would have been easily. Finish.
No. The only last thing I was going to say that would have been just as good. That would have been just as pertinent. It just different though. I think they didn't want to continue it, so they didn't go that way. But they could have, right? That could have been something.
Absolutely, and in looking at it in context, I really thought when he hit that first tsunami, I really thought that's where we. That's why when you put it out there, I'm like, yeah, I see what he's thinking. And then he missed the second one.
Right.
Seth Rollins is Teflon. That guy can take a loss any night of the week. And it's one. He's one promo. Only ever one promo away from being heated right back up in any situation he's in. So they could have very easily gone that route and it wouldn't have hurt Seth Rollins at all.
Right, right.
So, excellent match. These guys are not done. I look forward to more from them. And look forward to big things from Bronson Reed over the next 12 to 24 months.
Well, now we do have it set up for the Fatal 4-Way number one contender match, right? Do we want to talk about that here in this spot?
Yeah, go ahead and pull that one up because I don't have it in front of me. I know I saw it briefly advertised. I kind of took a bathroom break when they were talking about that one. I know it's Bronson Reed, Sheamus, Dominic, and who's the fourth? Was it Seth?
Seth, Priest.
Priest. Okay, I was way off.
Seth, Priest, Dominic, and Sheamus. No Reed.
Sheamus.
So yeah. Okay. Priest, Dominic, Sheamus, and Seth.
Okay. I look for Bronson to come out and get involved and cost Seth some way or another. He's going to fuck Seth over on this one.
Okay.
I don't see Sheamus winning this one, so we're coming down to Priest and Dom. I wouldn't be shocked to see Dom pull this one out by hook or crook.
That's crazy. I don't know. I think Sheamus wins it because I think, like you said, Bronson costs Seth and Priest and Dom cost each other. So maybe Sheamus and Gunther again?
You wouldn't have to twist my arm much to watch that one.
Bella. We'll see.
Those guys tear the house down every time.
Just an immediate reaction. Tune into the DWI podcast and the Mindless Wrestling podcast in the upcoming weeks right there on Chairshot Radio Network every Friday and Saturday morning.
There you go. Good plug there, buddy. All right. Well, let's move into the first of our Crown Jewel Championship matches. This one is for the women.
Let's go.
We had, and I can never remember exactly what the name of their championships are. I'm just going to say the Raw Women's Champion, Liv Morgan, versus the SmackDown Women's Champion, Nia Jax,
inaugural. It's the same as the men.
And I don't remember that one either because I'm an idiot.
Well, SmackDown's the WWE Championships. And Raw is the World Heavyweight Championship.
We have a bit on our show. Rob and I can never remember. And Jason has it
I didn't know. All right.
Like photographic memory on this stuff. So Rob and I always call it the Raw Women's. We do the same thing with the men. It's not just the women. It's the Raw Men and Women's and the SmackDown Men and Women's. It's our bit on the show. It's
fair,
okay.
Fair enough. Anywho,
these girls are going at it for the inaugural Crown Jewel Women's Championship. And all in all, I thought bell-to-bell this match was really good.
Great match.
It was. Liv has just progressed so much as a performer. Like an overall well-rounded performer.
I know there was interference in this match, but it wasn't. They still had a match in the ring between the two of them, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I did enjoy that. I liked even more so in the other match how there really wasn't any interference, so.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Right. I know a lot of people were expecting a Tiffy cash-in. They teased it. They did not deliver on that. I think most of us had it on our bingo card that Tiffany was going to cash in tonight.
I got to give myself a buzzer. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was wrong about Tiffy cashing in.
Excellent. Excellently done, sir. Yeah, we had Raquel and Dom both came out. Tiffy came out. Just a lot of really good shenanigans at the end of this. And at the end of the day, Liv Morgan does hit the Oblivion on Nia Jax to secure the first ever Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Like I said, all in all, bell to bell, the stuff they did with minus the shenanigans were fine, but the bell to bell stuff in the ring between, they've got great chemistry. And Nia has really found her groove. Like, I know her first run, a lot of people had issues. I think since she's been back, she has really found herself, again, much like Liv, as a more well-rounded and important performer.
I couldn't agree with you more, and it's what I wanted to get to even before you started going down this road, is how much Nia's grown and what an asset she is to this division now. Having the personality she has now, the growth she has, the execution she can do in the ring, and give her character, the ability to get over with the fans. Like, the fans are starting to connect with her as a heel, right?
Yes.
So I think that Tiffy kind of dynamic helps a lot. But man, yeah, Nia is just someone that just advances the entire division. Having that gigantic stature also have a personality to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's a little side road question, and we talked about this on last night's episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Rhea Ripley legitimately injured, out for an indefinite period of time, which puts the feud with her and Liv Morgan on hold. what do you do with Liv in the short term? Do you heat somebody else up? And if you do, who do you heat up? Or two, do you just let her kind of walk around with Dom and just cut promos and be an asshole for the next, I don't know, 3 months? Because I would assume, I work in ophthalmology. We don't see a whole lot of, because anything that has this type of injury, we refer out to specialists for surgery. So I don't exactly know the recovery time on an orbital fracture, but I would imagine she may be ready to go by Royal Rumble. So what do you do? And I'm posing this question to you. What do you do with Liv from now until Rhea gets back?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess you really got to think about the Raw roster, right? Who's over there? I always have a hard time remembering who's on what roster. But there's always a thing you can do and go, when does Charlotte come back and where does she go?
Yeah. Or, and I threw this out there, just, and I don't mean this in any derogatory way, heat up Natalya. Heat up Natalya and send her out there for a short program with Liv, a 1 to 2 month program with Liv. If you've got nobody else that you believe in that you think could carry weight in that segment, put Natalya out there because she can do it.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Yeah. It's tough. It really is. I think Rhea's injury just completely derailed the next 3 months of Liv Morgan WWE programming. So you got to figure something out to do with her.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the roster right now in front of me.
And yeah.
No one's really standing out. I mean, is Alexa Bliss coming back? Is Carmella coming back? You got Charlotte. You got a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Plus, there's probably a bunch
Carmella
of...
Carmella would be interesting. I think a Carmella-Liv Morgan feud could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. It reintroduces Carmella back to the brand, gets her out there. Carmella was as over as any woman on the roster was.
Either members of Damage Control. What about the Wyatt Six are also there? So Nikki Cross could be someone that you want to get in on with as well.
Okay.
Lyra Valkyria, Maxine.
Yeah. I didn't even consider Lyra. You could easily just throw Lyra out there for a couple months. If the plan is for someone to eat a pin to Liv Morgan for the next 60 to 90 days, then, you know, Lyra is the perfect person for that because it doesn't hurt her at all.
So, there you go.
Interesting thing to kick around over our podcast over the next, you know, few weeks as they try and figure out what they're going to do with Liv in this situation.
100%.
So, next up, we have another grudge match. And this one had a lot of personal stakes involved. KO versus RKO. Kevin Owens versus Randall Keith Orton in a match that actually never ended up happening. And I like what they did here. You know, it's just two guys trying to beat the snot out of each other, and it never got off the ground, never got out of the gate. They got in the ring at some point, but at that point, the refs had already thrown the match out, and this just, it felt like a good old-fashioned fight.
No, it started with Kevin Owens watching Randy Orton get up on the turnbuckle there, the second turnbuckle, to do his entrance, and one last kind of photo op during his entrance, and he had enough, and decided to give him a shot to the knee with a chair before it all started. And that was pretty much it. We did get an RKO to Adam Pearce from Randy Orton.
That was incredible.
So we'll see what kind of repercussions come from that. But once again, like I said before, we needed to find ways to get outside of the ring in these matches with Seth and Bronson and Randy and Kevin, because these are like blood feuds right now, right? Like, these guys are really hot on each other. So I thought they did a good job in making it a no match. That's fine. You know, this is going to lead to more. I think you were right. And Seth and Bronson was kind of a blow off until next time. We'll see you soon, but just not very soon. We're going to see you very soon again.
Yeah, these guys. I look for these guys to feud through the rest of the year. Probably wrap that up around Royal Rumble time.
Something like that. Saturday's main event. I'm looking forward to, dude. That's going to be awesome. I cannot wait.
That's
going to
be
Saturday
a lot of
main
fun.
Event coming back in December. Ugh.
Yep. Yeah, I've caught the because they started doing the trailer. I'm like, what are they doing with this? I'm like, oh, Saturday night's main event. That's right. I forgot all about that.
I mean, let's go.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's go.
All right. Next up, we had the next to the last match was the triple threat for the U.S. Championship currently held by LA Knight. It was LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade El Idolo. There was a lot of good shit going on in this match. Like, from a move-for-move standpoint, this may have been the best wrestling match of the night. A lot of really good slick stuff by Carmelo. Andrade showed out, man. Like, that guy reminded everybody, hey, this is who I am and this is what I do. I thought he was exceptionally good. LA Knight kept up with everybody. I had a lot of fun with this one.
I did, too. I didn't expect a lot. I thought it was the perfect come down before the main event here. Considering the order in which they did the card. Looking back at it now, I'm kind of glad that the crowd was cold coming into it because the match was really good. The crowd just kept getting better as they went along and along during the match. And even though there wasn't a new champion, I would have loved to have seen Andrade win it here. Honestly, as the match went along, I was kind of rooting for him. But I think we talked about it last night. LA Knight's going to have a nice lengthy title reign here, whether it's Rumble or even possibly WrestleMania, where he might just end up losing that belt.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. I enjoyed the finish. Just that, and so I'm in a chat thread, and some people were really questioning, okay, has Triple H kind of lost it with Carmelo a little bit? I don't think he has. I think it's still way too early in the game for Carmelo Hayes. His time will come. He's going to be fine. I think what the finish says to me is Carmelo was the rookie in the ring with two veterans. He got caught napping. LA Knight hit him with the BFT, and that was it. Good night, kid.
Look at Bronson Reed. Right? Like, they're taking their time. Like, you gotta go through some stuff first, because I think they're looking back at Austin Theory and they gave him the Money in the Bank too quick, right? And they don't want to shit like that again. So it's like, hey, you know what? Let's go back to the thing where we make people prove it, unless it's really jumping off the wall.
Well, and that's something that I've said on, you know, my podcast in the past. Sometimes with these people, when you take somebody who's super, super hot, wrestling fans are fickle, and we've proved this time and time again. You could be super hot in January, February, and March, but by August, September, October, people don't even know who you are. You know, you had this niche thing that was really, really cool for a minute. You sold a few t-shirts, and then everybody forgot about you. We need to make sure that these super hot stars are sustainable. And Carmelo is going to be somebody you slow build. And Triple H has shown he's a fan of the slow burn, the slow build. We have stories and journeys that these characters need to go on. And I think that losing in this match is just another page in the story of Carmelo Hayes. I think he's going to be fine. I think he had an incredible showing tonight. He showed that he belongs there. He's the rookie amongst veterans, and he got caught. You know, that writes itself.
It was one of the best three matches of the night.
It was, absolutely. So. All right, are we ready to talk main event?
Let's do it, brother.
All right, for the men's Crown Royal inaugural championship, we had
Crown
champion.
Royal? Hell yeah, big bottle of Crown Royal for these motherfuckers, whoever wins.
Yes, yes, absolutely. anyway, whatever. Crown Jewel.
You like a little Crown Royal, don't you?
I love Crown Royal, my friend. That's where my head was at this point in time. Crown Jewel, inaugural champion.
I like the apple one. Do you like the Crown Apple?
I'm not a big fan of the flavored ones.
Okay, fine.
The apple's okay.
Okay.
The maple one is terrible. It's way too sweet.
My bad. Back to wrestling.
Okay, back to wrestling. Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel. for those keeping score at home, we had undisputed, whatever we're calling it, champion Cody Rhodes versus world heavyweight champion Gunther in what I thought was a really, really good old school wrestling match. Oh. Like, they were telling a good story. Gunther called his shot at the interview prior to the show. He was going to put Cody down with the sleeper. Gunther kept trying the sleeper. Cody spent the entire match trying to avoid the sleeper, spent the entire match trying to hit the crossroads, trying to hit the disaster kick. Like, these guys really have great chemistry together. Like, this was a good match.
It was. They had tons of synergy together. Like, they worked like they had done a bunch of matches beforehand. I think their styles and size kind of lend themselves to each other. I think their characters also do as well. Currently, where Cody is the biggest baby face on the planet, and you know, Gunther's a pretty solid heel here.
Yeah.
So it was fun. The crowd was great here again. Props to this crowd, man. The setup was amazing. The execution was excellent. I love the green lights coming out over the ring and in the pulled back shot from you know, camera side. It was just a great match. The pacing was really good here, to be honest.
The pacing was excellent. That's the one thing that I really noticed was, and again, this is where guys like Cody and guys like Gunther excel.
Right.
Slow it down. Let the moment breathe. Give the crowd something to watch before you go do the next thing.
And at the same time, they didn't let anything sit too long. Right.
It just
felt good. There was plenty of things going on while they kind of rested, quote unquote, holded, you know, so that's where the pacing was A+. And it's Cody and Gunther. And man, I just give props to Cody. He was amazing. I love the gear, too. I love that kind of midnight blue with the rivets down the side. He looked really good. Gunther goes straight black and white. The nice white laced way up boots as well just looked amazing. And then the end shot, too, with Hunter and one of the highest dignitaries, if not, I'm not sure who that was from Saudi Arabia on Cody's right, but Liv up there, too, with all the belts. Just looked great.
Yeah.
It was a fun show. Get used to it. I know we love them because they're in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, I love these things. These early days, like somebody was complaining on one of the people I follow, said, I'm not doing these midday pay-per-views. I'm like, I love these midday premium live events.
Then go.
One, because this one went almost 4 hours, and I couldn't imagine trying to sit up until 11, almost 11:30 trying to watch this thing. I would have been, like, tapped out. I'm old, man. Yeah. I can't do this stuff like that anymore. So I love these midday pay-per-views. Plus, you and I get to come up here in the afternoon post-show and do these little discussions, and I love the hell out of that.
Right, then go radio silent and watch it when you want, right? A big announcement, though, was August 2nd and 3rd, MetLife, SummerSlam.
Yes, yeah, next year. That's going to be huge. I think that's the first official two-night SummerSlam, as we teasingly seem like at least the big four, although there's some debate as to whether or not the big four is actually four anymore, if it's the big three, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam. One could argue that Survivor Series is still a big four, but our boss Greg DeMarco differs in opinion on that. But we're looking at, you know, definitely SummerSlam and WrestleMania. WrestleMania has been two nights now for what? This will be the fourth year. SummerSlam next year will be year one. A lot of people saying that Royal Rumble may go that route as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 24 months is going to be interesting, man.
100%, and we're in here to cover it all, man. We're covering the past, we're covering the present, we're covering the future right here, Chairshot Radio Network.
And if you like T-shirts, holiday season's coming up.
Ooh.
You want all your apparel from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts? Go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Browse, look at, peruse, if you will, all the T-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast is there, DWI. We have I don't know how long this is going to last. Baron Corbin sucks. I don't know how long that one's going to be there for. But there's just a plethora, you know, hashtag journalism. Go check those out. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you wear one in soft style. Also, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
There we go, folks. Yeah.
Tony, this has been a great show. This has been a lot of fun.
No, and we're here for it. I mean, it's just we're long-time fans here. I mean, we fully accept it's a beautiful physical soap opera, and we're here for it. And they're doing a great job right now, everything that's going on. So before you get us out of here, I guess I'll just say continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network. Like you said, all of your favorite streaming platforms. Follow me at PC Tunney. That's all I got for you, man.
You can follow me at The Mindless Pod on the app formerly known as Twitter. You can listen to The Mindless Wrestling Podcast every Saturday on the Chairshot Radio Network. You can listen to DWI every Friday on the Chairshot Radio Network and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. We are going to get out of here, but before we do, remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.